the anti-cybercrime law has taken effect last Wednesday, but as you know, it's still under a cloud of protests. You see, there are laws applying to communications in print and on air, but the cyberspace is a new field. But if you compare the speed with which people can communicate around the world because of cyberspace, is even more amazing. When something is posted on the internet and it goes viral, in a moment, millions around the world are sharing that post. And in an instant, it can damage reputation. So if you ask me, yes, I agree in laws that regulate cyberspace communication. But as amazing as the communication technology has become in our cyberspace world, it is still nothing compared to that old-fashioned way of communicating, and that is praying to God. Gaano man ka manghamangha ang teknolohiya ng komunikasyon ngayon sa pamamagitan ng internet, ng cyberspace, milyon-milyon ang agad makababasa ng anumang ilagay mo sa internet, kahanga-hanga yan, kamanghamangha, pero hindi pa rin yan makakakumpara sa dating paraan ng pagkikipagtalastasan sa Diyos, paraan ng pakikipag-usap sa Diyos, at yan ay ang paraan ng panalangin. The internet connects to millions of users in an instant, and there is power in it. But prayer connects us, connects the petitioner to the power that moves the world, the one above human powers. At yan po ang tunay na mas kagilagilalas. Kung isipin natin anuman ang kahanga-hanga sa komunikasyon at teknolohiya, hindi nito maabot ang kayang gawin ng panalangin. And if we appreciate the power behind prayer, we will be praying more with consistency. But why don't we? We should be seeking more earnestly and humbly that brethren pray for us. But again, why don't we? And God enabling, we will address a short series this month to encourage us to do this more. And I hope that it will be used to make it more natural for us to tell people, to tell brethren, I pray for you. And in exchange, it will be more natural for you to seek the prayers of your brethren. Turn your Bibles to just one single text for this afternoon. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. I just want to focus on those words, pray for us. Thessalonica is one place that Paul visited in his second missionary journey, and he established a church in it. Dinalaw ito ni Pablo sa kanyang ikalawang paglalakbay bilang misyoneryo, at sa kanyang pagdalaw doon, may isang iglesia na naitanim at lumago. Kaya masasabi natin, kagaya nung pinag-aralan natin noong nakaraan, ang Corinto ay minahal ni Pablo ng personal. Like Corinth, the Thessalonian church was the object of personal affection for the Apostle Paul because he founded it. There is a problem, however, in the Thessalonian church. It is a doctrinal problem. It is a problem pertaining to an error that was scattering in the thinking, in the minds of the members of the church about the second coming of Christ. In fact, mapapansin na natin ito sa unang sulat pa lamang niya, in the first letter to the Corinthians, already that problem was on the surface because there were people teaching that Christ was coming anytime, and because Christ was coming anytime in their lifetime, the effects on some of the members was to abandon their business, abandon their work, just to wait for the second coming of Christ. Nandun na yan sa first letter. Inakala nilang andyan na ang Panginoon, malapit na, parang katulad ng mga taong ginagawa pa rin ito kung minsan hinuhulaan kailan ang pagbabalik ng Panginoon, at pagkatapos iiwanan nila yung kanilang mga gawain para siya hintayin. Gusto ko lang iwasto yan na yung pagsasabi na kapag darating na ang Panginoon ay dapat nang iwanan natin ang mga trabaho kung pasukan sa GMA at bigyan man ako ng paunang kaalaman na ang Panginoong Jesus ay darating ng Merkules, magkaklase pa rin kami ng Martes. Ganyan ang tunay na pag-aabang sa Panginoon ay gawin mo lang yung dapat mong ginagawa ng araw-araw. So the idea was that in the first letter, Christ was coming anytime, so they abandoned work. Paul corrected that. But by the time that Paul had to write the second letter, the problem got worse. Why? This time, there was now teaching that Christ has come. Isipin niyo yun, na sa una, malapit na, by the time Paul had to write the second letter, the teaching now that was scattering was nakarating na ang Panginoon sa isang spiritual na paraan. At ito ang winawaso ni Pablo dito sa kanyang ikalawang sulat. Paul corrects this falsehood urgently. Now, it is not my purpose to go into that issue, but the fact that there is this problem, it makes Paul's plea in 2 Thessalonians 3:1 for prayer even more impressive. He is asking prayer from this kind of church, and Paul had no problem asking that this church with this doctrinal problem would still pray for him. My message is this: we must value and seek the prayers of brethren on our behalf. Kinakailangang pahalagahan natin at hanapin natin ang panalangin ng mga kapatiran para sa atin. Pray for us, Paul says. These very few words in the English translation actually represent a single Greek word. Isang salita lang ito. Ipanalangin ninyo kami. It is very natural to Paul to seek this intercession of the brethren on his behalf. And so it should be to us. Kung natural ito kay Apostol Pablo na humingi ng panalangin, ay dapat rin natin gawing natural ito sa atin na humingi ng panalangin ng mga kapatiran. This should be a natural exchange between brethren in the church, the exchange of praying for one another. Two thoughts that I want to draw from this. First, we need the prayers of brethren. Kailangan natin ang panalangin ng kapatiran. We need the prayers of brethren. But secondly, we need to pray for brethren. Kailangan nating manalangin para sa kapatiran. Kaya ibalansehin natin ang dalawang yan. Una, we need the prayers of brethren. Isipin niyo si Apostol Pablo itong nagsasalita na humihingi ng panalangin. Baka isipin natin, apostol naman siya, tiyak ang pabor ng Diyos sa kanyang apostol na tinawag. And that may be true. And yet, Paul still sought prayer. Bear also in mind that this is the Thessalonian church with a serious doctrinal confusion on the subject of the second coming, but neither his being an apostle on the one hand, nor the doctrinal problem of the church on the other, deterred Paul's prayer request. Kahit pa siya apostol, kahit pa may problema ang iglesia sa Thessalonica, hindi napigil yung paghingi ni Pablo ng panalangin. At isang ipaalala nito sa atin, God-ordained intercession. God ordained the intercession of believers as a means to prosper His favor upon His people. Itinalaga ng Diyos ang namamagitang panalangin ng Kanyang mga tao upang pairalin ang kanyang pagpapala, upang magbigay siya ng pagpapala. Isang itinalaga niya na gamitin ay mamagitan tayo sa pananalangin. Now, to use means is the ordinary and normal way in which God carries out His work in the kingdom. Now, yes, in His sovereignty, He can work outside of and above the means. But that is never for us to assume. Hindi natin pwedeng ipalagay, gagawa at kikilos ang Diyos sa pagkakataong ito na hindi kailangan ng kasangkapan. Wala sa atin yun. Maari niyang gawin, pero yun ay sa kanyang soberanong pagpapasya. Hindi natin maaring ipalagay, hindi natin maaring ipangahas na isipin ito ang gagawin ng Diyos. Instead, we must expect God to carry out His work through the means He ordained. And one of the key means is the prayer and intercession of believers for the church. Prayer for one another. And Apostle Paul was one Christian who valued very highly the prayers of God's people. He really believed that through the prayers of Christians, things happen. Listen to this in Philippians 1:19. As he was seeking the prayers of his fellow believers on an approaching and impending trial, he said in Philippians 1:19, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." Imagine the value that Paul attached to the prayers of God's people. He put it on the same line as the work of the Spirit of Jesus. How high is Paul's regard for the prayers of God's people? He believed that things actually happen because of them. So in other words, prayers are not mere ritual and formula cliché of spiritual vocabulary. Ang panalangin na hindi lang ritual, hindi formula, na gumagamit ka ng mga mapanalangining mga vocabulario, sa halip ang panalangin ay talagang nakakaabot sa Diyos. At nang dahil sa panalangin, talagang may ginagawa ang Diyos bilang tugon sa panalangin. Paul does not demonstrate in his letters any hung up about God being sovereign and therefore not needing to hear prayers. Nakaka-encounter ka ba ng ganyang objection, ng ganyang argumento? Kung soberano na pala ang Diyos at siya ang nagpapasyat, nagtatakda ng mga mangyayari, para kay pa ang panalangin? And Paul does not have that hung up. He believes entirely in God's sovereignty. He believed that God's will is going to take place according to His predestined plan. But that does not deter him from praying and seeking the prayers of the saints. It is not that God needs prayers, but He requires it and He delights in it. Hindi sa kailangan ng Diyos ang panalangin na para bang hindi siya makakakilos kung walang panalangin. Ngunit kanyang sinabi, kanyang iniutos, at siya ay nalulugod sa panalangin ng kanyang mga lingkod. So there is no contradiction. Believing in the sovereignty of God and yet believing in the ordained means of prayer. Listen to this in Ezekiel 36 and 37. After a series of I will do this for my people, sovereign I wills, but towards verse 37, he says, thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. Sunod-sunod yung sinabi niya, gagawin ko ito, gagawin ko iyan, walang makapipigil sa aking gagawin. Ngunit sa bandang huli, ang sinabi niya ay niloloob ko na hihilingin ito sa akin ng angkan ni Israel. God's sovereign will also determined the means to be used, and that includes prayer. So there is power in prayer because God ordained it. Facebook just announced that it has reached the 1 billion mark in number of users. Well, at least I'm one of the 1 billion. Although I rarely use Facebook, to be honest. But that's power. In one posting, you can reach this many people. And that gives power to Zuckerberg and the owners and controllers of Facebook. They have this many within their reach. But that's nothing when one has connection with God. He's more powerful than all the more than 7 billion of the earth's population. So the challenge to us is cultivate the attitude and practice of seeking intercession of brethren. Linangin natin yung saloobin at yung gawain na talagang at totoong hanapin natin ang pamamagitang panalangin ng kapatiran. The most important intercession that we can be sure of is the priestly intercession of Christ. What Christ told Peter, "I have prayed for you," is something that He assures each of His people. "I pray for you." And based on the priestly sacrifice He offered on the cross, He is now interceding on behalf of those who believe in Christ. My friend, if you are not one who has come to the cross of Christ, there is no intercessor on your behalf in the throne of God. Come to Christ, and the assurance is His death is for those who come to Christ, and now His intercession is going on behalf of those who belong to Him. But from that intercession of our high priest, we are to be priests to one another. We seek intercession. Hinahanap natin ang namamagitang panalangin. And here, the Thessalonian problem does not deter Paul from seeking their intercession on his behalf. And we must renounce the mentality that some Christians cannot pray until they sort out some doctrines. Now, you may have problems with their doctrines, and given the opportunity, you will seek to correct and instruct, as Paul does here in this letter. But that does not make their prayers unreal or without value. Not to Paul. He sought the Thessalonian prayers. For all their doctrinal problem, kahit pa ano yung kanilang problema sa doktrina, ay hiningi ni Pablo yung kanilang panalangin. They may have a problem on the second coming, but Paul calls them brethren. And for our part, be expressive of your need for prayer. Have your moments of saying to the brothers and sisters, pray for us, pray for me. And I am of the conviction that good things happen to us because of the prayers of others we know not of. I am fully convinced of that. Things happen, and sometimes you're surprised that it happens, but it could be that God responded to someone's prayer on your behalf, and that is true. So Paul, again, in one request he makes in Colossians 3, 2 and 3, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. And there's again the natural inclination by Paul to seek prayer. Paul recognizes that when Christians really pray, it is a source of power for his ministry. Talagang pinanggagalingan ng kapangyarihan sa kanyang ministeryo ang pananalangin ng iba. Many have tried to analyze the success of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the man who was a Baptist pastor in London and a very successful ministry in terms of fruitfulness. Many have said his great skill and oratory has something to do with it. Others, his deep grounding in Scripture. And I'm sure all of those have their place in explaining the extraordinariness of the man. But when Spurgeon was asked that himself, he has an answer that was quick without any second thought. He said, "My people pray for me." And that was it for him. And that is something that we need, that conviction that when Christians, when saints pray for you, something happens. God responds to those prayers. So let us make it a conviction. We need the prayers of brethren. But then secondly, we need to pray for brethren. Kailangan nating manalangin para sa kapatiran. At yan ay ginawa ni Pablo para sa mga taga-Thessalonica in the opening of the letter in chapter 1, verse 11. He said, "We always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of His calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by His power." He was praying for them even as he was seeking their prayers. And here we must understand that God ordained intercession to mortify natural selfishness and to nurture fellowship. Itinalaga ng Diyos yung namamagitang panalangin para tanggalin yung ating pagkamakasarili at upang linangin ang pag-uugnayan sa iglesia. We all are naturally selfish. Self always comes first. And for others, there is no more second, just self. And even prayer is not spared of that selfishness. We pray, yes, yet we pray for our good, we pray for our own interests. When is the one time that it is natural for us to consider others? When we are face to face with them. That's the time you consider how he will react to your words, to your presence. And sometimes, even as we think of others in their presence, we still do it selfishly. What would they think of me? How would they react to me? And still selfish. Here is why, and this is the wisdom of it. Here is why intercession is such an effective means to mortify selfishness, because there, alone with God, with none of the brethren present. Yet when you sincerely pray for someone else, for his interest, that is an unselfish act. He's not hearing it. He's not aware of it. And it's only between you and God, and yet you think of the good of others. That's why it mortifies selfishness. Where such unselfishness is present, what a sweet fellowship it will nurture in the church. Kapag hindi nangingibabo ang pagkamakasarili, diyan namumunga ang pag-uugnayan sa iglesia. Tandaan natin yung fellowship, the basic meaning of that is sharing what is common. And between Christians, what is it that we share in common? Not personalities. We're so different. Not backgrounds, not sentiments, not temperaments. What we share in common is that we have the same God to whom we come through Christ by the enabling of the Spirit. That's what we share in common. All of us Christians have that. And before this God, we intercede on behalf of our brethren, knowing He is their God, we share with them. And that's a powerful weapon in our hand. In a platoon of soldiers, or even in a squad, which is smaller than a platoon, one of the functions of one of the soldiers is to be the radio man. The radio man rarely uses his firearm. And sometimes he does not even carry one. His weapon is the radio. In order to radio for backup or for reinforcement from the headquarters. And failure for reinforcement, military tactics will tell you, is a formula for debacle. There must be assurance of reinforcement, but the one who can do that is the radio man. His power is communication. And you and I, in that sense, are all radio men for our brethren. We seek the reinforcement of God for the church, for brethren who we know are struggling. That's our power. Therefore, my challenge is let prayer be a defining spirit of our church fellowship. Hayaan natin ang panalangin, ang siyang magbibigay katuturan sa ating pag-uugnayan. We have various expressions of our fellowship. So we speak of our lunch fellowship. But as I've said, that's only expression. Fellowship comes first. It is when fellowship is there that having lunch together becomes edifying. But without the real fellowship based upon the Spirit, no amount of lunch, no matter how sumptuous, will create that fellowship. An edifying fellowship is defined not by external activities together. It should be defined by the mercy seat. Yung ating pag-uugnayan ay dapat bigyang katuturan ng ating pag-uugnayan sa trono ng kahabagan ng Diyos. And where there is an ease of asking for prayer, knowing it will be done, and so we must do, intercede. When people come to us to ask for prayer, really pray for them. When we pray, that is when we need to be most sincere to our God. And that is why one definition of prayer I like best is outpouring of the heart to God. It is not a prepared statement like you do in a press briefing. It is what is in your heart's content. That's you, what you pour out to God. John Calvin, in fact, has a peculiar way of describing it. When God descends to us, He abases Himself and stammers with us. So He allows us to stammer with Him. Parang yung adult na nakikipag-usap sa bata, salitang bata rin siya. Para ma-encourage yung bata na kausapin siya. And that's how Calvin pictures it. That God is stammering with us so that we can be stammering with God. So don't be concerned about beautiful spiritual vocabulary in prayer. Just pour out your heart. And when you pour out your heart, Romans 8:26 tells us even the words that cannot be uttered are intelligible to God. Prayer is not driven by fashionable vocabulary. Sincerity is paramount. We come to the Father through the mediation of the Son, enabled by the Holy Spirit, and He hears us when we pour out our heart. And this, may I say, is more real than Facebook or Twitter. When you post something on these social networks, most will not experience trending. It will not likely go viral. But when we come to God through His Son, He promises to hear us. That's the mystery of prayer. So do not miss the opportunity that in the mercy seat of God, we define the fellowship of our church. It is not only that your brethren need your prayers, they do, but you need to pray for them. To fail in this is to root selfishness deeply in your spirit. It will build a fellowship that is carnal, fleshly. Kapag nabibigo tayong manalangin para sa ating kapatiran, lumalalim ang pagkamakasarili natin. Nagkakaugat ng malalim. Kaya't iwasan natin ang pamumuhay na walang pananalangin para sa kapatiran. Do not think that the battle against selfishness begins in the company of others. No, it begins when you are alone with God. It is there too, alone with God, that the fellowship of the church will be defined, a praying fellowship. Kanina sa ating Sunday school, pinakita ko sa inyo yung larawan ni Martin Luther in the Diet of Worms, bravely announcing, "Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." The often untold story behind that is that it was the second day when that happened. The first day that it happened, the panel was confronting him with his books, and they were asking him, "Are these books yours?" And he said, "Yes. We want you to recant these books." And Martin Luther sought postponement for a day. Tuwan-tuwa naman yung panel, bumibigay na si Dr. Luther, yun ang kanilang sabi. Kaya bukas siya magre-recant na yan. What they didn't know was that night, Martin Luther spent in prayer. And somebody took notes while Martin Luther was praying audibly. His companion took notes, and it's in the record books. I wish you could read that. What a prayer. And that's what's behind that brave, courageous man in the Diet of Worms speaking to these leaders of Europe. "Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." Behind that brave man was the man of the closet seeking the power of his God. When have you been last time with your God in that closet seeking his power? And when you do, heed the request. Pray for me, pray for us, pray for your brethren. There can be no sweeter exchange of assurance than brethren who pray for each other. Let us close with a hymn, "Approach My Soul, the Mercy Seat," where Jesus answers prayer. "There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there." What an assurance that in the mercy seat of God, none can perish, because that is where our Redeemer is. Let's pray. Dakila naming Diyos, nawa nga sa halimbawang ibinigay ni Apostol Pablo sa tekstong ito ay magkaroon kami ng gayong pagpapahalaga sa panalangin ng mga banal na mga mananampalataya na magiging natural sa amin na ito ay hanapin, ito'y pahalagahan, at hingin na sila'y manalangin para sa amin bilang mga mananampalataya. At gayon din naman kami ay maging tungkulin namin ang manalangin para sa aming mga kapatiran. We pray, Father, that this church may be defined in its fellowship, not by the external expressions of it, but rather be defined by our fellowship in the mercy seat. And there we learn that when we pray for others while alone with our God, that is an effective mortification of our natural selfishness. So grant, O Lord, that we may draw this from that ongoing intercession of our Lord and Savior on our behalf as our priestly mediator on your right hand at the mercy seat. May we do the same for each other, and may we so value the prayers of believers that we will truly seek it and that we will practice praying for one another. Grant that we may find the strength to do what we need to do in the kingdom, not because of our methods and resources, but because as believers, we are pleaders in your mercy seat. So hear us and grant us such a spirit that defines our fellowship from the mercy seat. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.